Today's gospel's parable is one we need to pay close attention to. It is a story of two believers, a Pharisee and a tax collector. Both were believers in the same God. They belonged to the same religion. They worshiped in the same temple. They were active believers who said daily prayers. A preacher trained his horse to go when he said, "Praise the Lord," and to stop when he said, "Amen." The preacher mounted the horse, said, "Praise the Lord," and went for a ride. When he wanted to stop for lunch, he said, "Amen." After lunch, he took off again, saying, "Praise the Lord." The horse started going toward the edge of a cliff. The preacher got excited and said, "Whoa, whoa." Then he remembered and said, "Amen." The horse stopped at the edge of the cliff. The preacher was so relieved and grateful that he looked up to heaven and said, "Praise the Lord." In our gospel, we see the Pharisee is very disciplined and devout man of religion, quite a good man, hardworking, honest, prayerful, intensely committed to the religious traditions of the people, most highly respected. The tax collector, on the other hand, was generally in contempt by most people, regarded as a man of low moral standards, in a state of ritual uncleanliness because he worked for the pagan Romans. But at the end of the worship, one of them went home at peace with God and the other did not. In 1945, the Christian author C.S. Lewis, most famous for his popular children's books, The Chronicles of Narnia, published a fascinating and disturbing novel called The Great Divorce. It tells the story of a middle-class Englishman who has a dream. In this dream, he travels first to hell, which is depicted as a boring, gray, and unpleasant suburb where the neighbors are always gossiping. Then he gets on a bus that drops him off in the outskirts of the countryside, which is heaven. He is depicted as a beautiful and gigantic, magnificent castle way off in the distance. When he gets off the bus, he is met by a guide who explains the place and the meaning of the journey. While they talk, they see many different people, and the guide explains who they are. At one point, they see a queen and her entourage. The queen herself is ravishly beautiful. Her face glows. Her movements are as graceful as a deer's. Her smile is as bright as snowflakes in the sun. And she is surrounded by a crowd of admirers, each one overflowing with joy and health, dressed in finery and filling the air with laughter and song. The group is heading towards the distant castle. The narrator, thinking that she must have been a famous prime minister or empress or queen, but his guide explains that on earth she was actually a very poor, very poorly educated, and quite plain-looking maid. She spent her time scrubbing floors and washing dishes, serving everyone around her, with never a moment to herself. But through all those years, she stayed close to God in prayer, and she always looked for ways to help ease the sufferings of those around her. Like the tax collector, she accepted her humble condition, acknowledged her need for God, and trusted that in his mercy, he would take care of her, and he did. She humbled herself, and as Jesus promised, she was therefore exalted. We in America have the higher standard of living of all countries in the world. However, today's gospel readings deal mainly with the weak and the oppressed. In the first reading, Zirach writes, "The Lord is a God of justice who knows no favorites, though not unduly partial toward the weak, yet he hears the cry of the oppressed." As I read this, I wondered, who are the most oppressed people here in our country? Most of us have enough food. We have comfortable housing. We have advantage of wonderful education facilities and access to advanced health care. So who are the oppressed? As I thought of an answer, I came to a conclusion: possibly the most oppressed section of our population is that of our young people. Now, one might say, how can you say that? They also, in general, are better fed, better housed, clothed, educated, and safer than any generation in the history of the world. That may be true, but I would suggest that young people here also face more potential problems than we adults faced as we were growing up. And so I'd like to talk to the young people here today. You are the future of our country and the future of the Catholic Church. Let's consider some of the problems you face. With television, you can be subjected to many shows that contradict the teachings of your mom and dad. Public schools no longer teach morality, honesty, truthfulness, or purity because the Supreme Court has decided we must keep God out of our education system. The availability of drugs, alcohol, pornography, and a transportation system that allows you to go anywhere in the world has forced young people to make a lot of difficult decisions. You have access to situations that didn't even exist when I was growing up. I can understand that on occasions you don't know what is right and what is wrong. The music you hear, the television shows, and the movies you see, the literature you can read all indicate you can do anything you want to do. But you also know of some of your friends who have tried what modern society has offered them, and they have paid a huge price. Each of you probably knows of an acquaintance who has made the wrong choices and has suffered from those decisions. Possibly some young people here are being pressured by your peers to join the crowd, to speak. You may hear the words, come on, come along with us. Everyone's doing it, it's fun. No one will find out, nothing will happen to you. You feel like you're in a trap. One part of your mind knows that the things our society offers us are wrong. The other side says, but how can I resist? It's true, everyone is doing it. It must be all right. Listen to what is said in today's second reading of St. Paul. One of our church's greatest saints tells us that he too had the same problems. He writes, at my first defense, no one appeared on my behalf. Everyone deserted me. Paul also writes, but the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, and I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil threat, and I will bring me safe to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Now, I'm sure some of the young people here are saying to themselves, what's he talking about? What is this religion stuff? I cannot make a cell phone call to St. Paul. What I'm talking about is simple. It is difficult to be a teenager or a young adult in these times. The society in which you live, and even the whole world, is saying to you, things have changed. Forget the old rules. Nothing will happen to you. Now, let's be honest. I bet that each young person here knows of someone who it did happen to. It may have been drugs, and now they are addicted. Or everyone told them, don't worry, but now they are pregnant. Others said, don't worry about your parents. Think they're old-fashioned. But deep down, you may not realize your parents are probably the best true friends you ever have, and you know that you need them. In the gospel, Luke writes of the tax collector who stood at a distance and didn't even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and said, O God, be merciful to me. And so I say to you today that you young people do live in a frightening world. You have so many choices that make it difficult to see what's right and what's wrong for you. Others give you advice, but it may be the wrong advice. Instinctively, if you give it some thought, we all know what's right and what's wrong. When faced with a difficult choice, ask yourself these questions. Would I want my mother or my father to take drugs, to get involved with alcohol, Would I want my brothers or sisters to live the life of some of the famous entertainers who seem to be with different people every month? You answer would probably be no. I would not want them to do that. You would say that because you love them. So when you are in a difficult situation and you have to make a choice, don't forget Jesus Christ and say to him, "Help me. You suffer for me, and I know you will guide me." And you will. And remember, when you start, praise the Lord, and when you stop, amen.